Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly on the 26th of October 2023. I'm your host Barry Gallagher and I'm joined by the illustrious panel, and I'm under strict instructions to go to the main man first. So Barry, how you doing?
I'm good, Barry. Smooth start already. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Alan?
I'm good, mate. Good save there. Yeah. A wee bit of instinct kept in, but aye, it's fine.
Keep them sweet. So we're just going to get straight into it tonight. Obviously, tonight's podcast will be heavily weighted on last night's match against Atletico. And then we'll touch on some news and we'll round off with Saturday's fixture against Hibs. So right into it, Alan, I'll come to you first. Sort of a debrief of the game. General thoughts and how are you feeling almost 24 hours later?
I feel better 24 hours later. As you know, I was pretty downbeat last night. Really downbeat, actually. Not because of the performance or not anything other than just extremely disappointing not to get a result. The result we needed, I think. But watched quite a bit of it back today. Obviously been consuming pretty much everything from last night. And I think when you take it in isolation, it really is a great performance against what is a top-level team. And the disappointment is, I think, stems from context, stems from the fact that we didn't take anything from either of the first two games. And, you know, as a consequence, last night was a must-win, really, I think. So that's where I think that disappointment last night came from, because I think there's a bit of a, almost a kind of contrast or a juxtaposition between watching your team play that well and compete that well against a team of that level, but and getting a draw, and then also thinking it's your first point in the group. And it's that kind of, it almost jars, because you're thinking, well, you know, had we been up to speed, had we been, you know, where we were at last night in the first two games, I don't think there's any doubt you would have got, you know, something or a more positive result from it, or, you know, a point at least from one of them, which would leave you open. So really disappointed last night, but I think today, a wee bit of time set in. I think it was just a really, really good performance. It was a great game of football. Felt a wee bit like a throwback atmosphere at Parkhead as well. It just felt like a proper European night, and I think the players turned up in a draw against a team like that, even though it wasn't probably enough for the context of the group. Over 90 minutes to watch us compete against a team like that, and, you know, arguably should have won it, I think is pretty fair and accurate, and I think we can take a lot from it.
Yeah, I think that's sort of similar to myself. I think that going toe-to-toe, it really did sort of, we'll talk about it a lot, the Martin O'Neill era, where it wasn't just sort of smash and grab, it was really taking them on and playing our natural game. And as you say, it's almost, it sounds crazy to say, but we're at a halfway point, but it feels like we're running out of games already. Because if we'd started with a performance like that, maybe got a result away in Rotterdam, we'd have been far better. So Manny, what's your thoughts on it?
I think the point Alan makes is the important one for me. You, looking at it in isolation, I agree with everything you've said. I thought it was a very good performance. I thought it was a composed performance. Some really standout performers on the night. I think we worked well as a team. I think in the first half we were pretty clearly, you know, the better team. In the second half, I think we fell away. We had to defend well, but we did, which is important, you know, at this level. And important against, especially against kind of teams of Atletico's calibre. I think probably on balance, I think we probably did deserve to win it, to nick it. And that was the frustrating thing. But you can't just look at it in isolation, and it's well, you know, simply put, it's another game without a win in the Champions League. We were competitive. We've been competitive in all three games. You could argue that's the same as last season. What we do now in these next three games, in terms of one, we're, you know, if European football finish for this season, but more importantly, what we need to do is, if we don't kind of progress in any of the, you know, in the Champions League or into the Europa League, it's about progressing, because this is where we need to be, and this is how we need to build. I'm not in any way, shape or form interested in the odd nice wee night here. I'm interested in us building going forward, and that might be at a level below the Champions League. We've talked about this in the past. But for me, I'm not going to get too misty-eyed or gushing about individual performances when the overall picture needs to move on. But that, you know, that does sound harsh, but it's like, you can enjoy last night for what it was. You know, there's far more positives than there are negatives in terms of how the team played and things like that. But you can't take your eye off of the overall picture, and there's still work to be done.
Definitely. And that's sort of, just before you come back in, Alan, some of the listeners' questions. So Troy has said, "Evening, lads. Overall, a great game last night, but mixed emotions today, thinking once again, we run ourselves ragged in the first half and lost momentum in the second half. But most depressing was the bench." He's wanting to say, "How can we have so many millions in the bank, have such a big squad, but bugger all quality on the bench?" So just the point that Troy makes there about the first half, and as you said there, Samari, I think that intensity that we played with, Troy sort of mentioned in brackets there, it was similar to Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I think it's quite, it's encouraging to see teams of that calibre come to Celtic Park and really look rattled. Because there was one moment, not even where something really came from, but there was a moment down sort of my end at Celtic Park, and we just had them pinned in the corner, and they just couldn't get out. And that really fed into the atmosphere. But I guess the point we really need to be saying is, how do we make that sort of 45 minutes, maybe be only half an hour against Real Madrid last season, how do we turn that into a 70, 80, 90 minutes performance, Alan?
Yeah, that is the challenge, I think. I think when you're playing against pot one teams, and I know they aren't the pot one team, but they are the big team. They are absolutely. I think against teams like that, it's always going to be difficult. And I think if you can play well for 60 minutes, then it's about not being completely out of the game and, you know, that other half hour that's there. And I think last night's game, I think you're spot on. First half, I thought we were great. You know, nothing to add there. It wasn't even the whole second half. There was a 10-minute spell, I think, from the you know, kick-off in the second half to about 55 minutes when we made the change. I've kind of made the change in shape, where we were completely out of it. Yeah. And we were like... Samani will have a good analogy about a boxer who's staggering about, because that's what we looked like. Every single player in the park was looking at each other thinking, I don't know who I'm marking. I don't know who I'm supposed to be sticking tight to. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. And that is a horrible, horrible feeling if you're in a football park, because it's not for lack of trying. It's not that you don't want to do the right things, but you don't. What you were doing isn't what you're doing anymore. And I think it was almost... It's a big call for a manager to make a change in shape, especially right after half-time. But it felt like a long, long 10 minutes for us to make that adjustment. And I think, to be honest, maybe I'm over-egging it a wee bit, but it felt like when Atletico scored, it felt like, A, it was coming, but it really felt like they could go and, you know, at this point they could win this quite comfortably. Right, so I get the point about, you know, needing to, you know, be the better team for 80 minutes, but I think, see, if you put in the kind of performance we did in that first half and you give yourself a lead, it's then not about saying, right, well, let's completely flip the and we'll give the other team the initiative for their 45, but it's maybe just about being that wee bit more cute and that little bit more understanding that you are up in the game. And I think the players and the manager last night, he's done well to change it. I think the change had to be made, but it's about adjusting a wee bit quicker. You can't go 10 minutes in a Champions League game where everyone's looking at everybody else saying, what are we doing here? We're getting pummeled. Now, they're a great team. They've got quality all over the park. They can do that probably in most teams. But we need to try and adapt to that and stop that from happening. And it's very difficult. But I think, A, you need to react quicker. And B, as Troy's put on, subs.
Yeah.
It was, Brendan Rodgers was, you're not playing my full deck there last night. And there wasn't the option to bring on quality for quality, especially when one of the attacking options was taken away from you in the first 7 minutes. Yeah. The Bernardo for Hatate swap is probably one of the few changes you could actually think in the game, I will make that if we need something. Mm-hmm. And we had to make it in 7 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. Samari?
I think going back to the point you made about how you can turn that into a performance for 90 minutes, I don't think you can. I mean, even driving back, Rodgers was asked that question himself, and he says it's very, very difficult. I would go that step further. I just don't think you can do that. Yeah. I think we said before we came on here, you know, I don't think Rodgers' style's quite as frenetic as Ange's, right? But you can draw parallels to an extent. You know, that first half against Real Madrid, and then we, you know, went out of steam. You know, we didn't get beat 3-0, but there was a period in time where you're thinking, that could have happened. Well, it wouldn't have been 3-0, but you know what I mean. We could have conceded goals like that. What's important, I think, though, is, and the change that he made to 3-5-2, and I'm not necessarily advocating for that change, right, but that ability to gain control when you've got a foothold in the game, as opposed to saying, this is what's got us to 2-1, or this is what's got us ahead in the game, we just need to keep doing this, when it expends that amount of energy. Now, as much as we were at that game last night, all of us, and imagine we were all shitting ourselves, even when we made that change, thinking that Madrid are going to go up the park or score, or they could score, we were a lot more settled when he made that change. And I suppose it goes back to a long discussed thing that we've had on this podcast about, you know, pragmatism or changing in your style, you know. And it was like, Ange was always like, I play one way and that's it, right? Sometimes you need to make those changes. Don't need to be drastic, they don't need to be a complete change in 3-5-2, but see if you can do something that allows you to maybe even recharge the batteries for a bit, you know, conserve some of that energy, just wear the opposition down, you know. I think that's important, because if your answer, because that frenetic pace is an equaliser against big teams like that, because they don't like it and it unsettles them. It's something that we're going to have to do. It's something that's worked to some effect under Ange, and we've seen that it's worked under Rodgers so far. However, you can't do it for the whole time, so something needs to plug the gap. That 3-5-2 suggests to me that Rodgers thinks the same. So it's maybe about developing that, thinking about that, working in that. I'm not a football manager. I mean, I talk crap on here. People will probably know that. So that's up for to the management and the coaching team to figure out what that is. But I think that's the way forward, you know, in terms of if you use that style, or we're managing to get a foothold in these games and ahead, it's not then about going 100 miles. It's about figuring out how to be a side that can control the game a bit more and defend that.
Yeah, I think on your action last night, Gal, Bowden, Clare, they're making the point it was very much like a game of two halves, but I think, as you're saying there, Samani, it can't be that drastic. So we can still have the 100 mile an hour frenetic pace the first half, but there has to be a middle ground. Has to be someone that can take the ball, calm it down. Because there was times last night where, even when the game was maybe getting away from us, we were getting like a goal kick, we're still trying to take it. Yeah. We're like, please just get your breath back, etc. So
it's almost like playing up, and I'm not criticising, but it's almost like playing up a wee bit to the crowd, as in, we're enjoying this, you know, let's go punch for punch. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the crowd shouting, well, let's not. Take a big fucking breath here. And cause I know exactly the one you mean. We took the goal kick, and within, we just turned it over within seconds. And it was at a point where we had, I don't think any player had taken, you know, a touch and made a clear, comfortable pass in what felt like an hour.
Yeah.
You see, it goes out for a goal kick, and you see Hart picking up and doing that roll where you're like, don't just. But he always does it. It's almost
I
like.
I quite like that roll, see the wee where he puts a wee bit of spin on it so it stops.
Aye.
That's good against Dundee at home, though. That's where to go. We're 4-0 up while he's having a bit of fun. It just reminds me of, like, I think we said maybe last season, like, obviously the whole we never stop mantra, and, like, sometimes I wish you fucking would. Just to get us our breath back. But just on a sort of similar vein as well, so, where are we? A lot of the sort of comments are similar from the listeners about the sort of substitutes, and we obviously were forced into the Real Hatate one. I think he was injured in the run-up to the goal, I think. And obviously, you're kind of looking around to see who's coming on. And I think at my section, most people were surprised that it was Bernardo. How do you think he did, Sir Manny? And do you think he's now going to get a chance to have a run in the team?
It was fine. It was a bit better than fine. I've heard varying reports on him, from poor to good to excellent. And I would be firmly in the middle of that. Yeah. I don't think. It's that, I think we talked about it last week when we were saying, you know, he needs to do something, he needs to grab a game. Now, that's entirely unfair to expect him to come in and grab this game by the scruff of the neck and announce himself on there. But I didn't see anything last night that made me think you're outstandingly good. But, I you know, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here. He was fine, aye. That's about all I can say.
I think
he's maybe a bit better than fine. That's it. I mean, I really don't have much more analysis than that, but it's.
I thought it was quite neat and tidy without being spectacular. Kept the ball moving. But Alan, I know you were maybe a wee bit different from that.
I thought he did well, and I think, but the reason I think I'm probably optimistic is I think I'm taking into account the opposition.
Yeah.
And I think coming into it, see if you're going to get on in 7 minutes, and I know this is a very obvious thing to say, but you'd much rather start the game because you get a feel for it, you get a feel for the pace of it. So you just missing that first, whatever it was, 6 minutes or whatever, it does feel like you're the one that needs to play catch up a little bit. And it's, especially for a centre midfielder, especially for a young centre midfielder, and especially for a young centre midfielder who hasn't played a lot of football as well. So I think to come in and be fine, I think you would have, I would have taken that. And I thought, I think you're right as well, I thought he was neat and tidy. I think what maybe has gone against him is the fact that in the last 20 minutes, a player who comes off the bench, you're probably thinking you should be fresh, but he played pretty much the full game and he's not played anywhere near that amount of football. And I think when you were looking for someone, Christ, we were looking for someone to have a bit of guile and a bit of something on the ball, I think he just looked like he was maybe getting a little bit leggy.
Mm.
But he's a very, very different player from Hatate, whereas I think Hatate likes to, you know, his range of passing. I think Bernardo looks, to be honest, he looks more aggressive, more direct. He looks like he wants to take a touch and, you know, stretch his legs a little bit. So I thought he did well. Won us a couple of fouls. Obviously, it was him that got fouled for the red card, which is very handy that Rodrigo De Paulo missed the I was about to say second leg, but the return game. But no, I think Bernardo done well. And I mean, he will get a chance now, especially if Rio has stretched that hamstring, I would imagine. And on Saturday, he'll get the nod out of the road.
I think it was telling that he went to Bernardo. You know, I mean, style-wise, I don't think there was much else there, but we were talking about Iwata getting a game at Tynecastle, different time, different stage of the match, different time of the match and all that. But he could easily have went for Iwata, and I think that would have told us a lot about Bernardo. So I think you're probably right. You really probably should take the opposition into account more. So hopefully that's the sign of him maybe kind of starting to show what he can do going forward.
Yeah, so, excuse me, Declan makes this a similar point. So he thought it was impressive, and now looks like he'll get a run of games with Rio, likely to miss a few games. But he's just asked the panel's thoughts on Rodgers' substitutions, so I've touched on it briefly, but it seems clear that he doesn't have faith in Oh, Yang, Iwata or Turnbull in big situations. Thought it was evident we needed fresh legs in midfield after 70 minutes yesterday, but he didn't make any changes. Keep up the good work. Just on that as well, I was kind of having a conversation with the guy next to me that obviously we'd made the three substitutions, but you can only have the three intervals, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he wasn't to know that the red card would come, but Alan, are you surprised at the substitutions, or do you think it maybe touches into that wider sort of transfer window in the summer question?
Yeah, I think it does. I like Oh, I think he's a really, really talented young player. But he's struggling to get game time, meaningful game time in domestic games. And even if we had last night back, granted, if the substitution was to be held off for another 2-3 minutes, I think he does go on, because I think if they go 10 men, he definitely brings them on. I can see, and I know the reaction when James Forrest came on last night wasn't probably, that's not probably not the player that everybody wanted to come on. But we were again at that point in the game, just before that red card, we could not get a touch of the ball. And we had a lot of guys on there that have the ability to do something special, but we didn't have anybody that would actually take a touch, pass it and do the right thing with the ball. And not to be, bearing in mind that I've been complimentary about Oh, see, when you're in that situation where you've not held the ball, you've not touched the ball, the last thing you need is somebody coming on like Oh, who tries to do 3, 4, 5 things at once.
Yeah.
He needs to, like we've said before on here, I've said it in previous weeks, he needs to play a lot of football to kind of learn when to do the right thing. I don't think last night, against a team of that experience and that calibre, I just don't think Oh would have had any impact. Now that does sound really unfair and harsh. If it was 3 minutes later, I would have definitely brought him on, because against 10 men, they then drop off. I think though, 11 v 11, I just think Oh would, to be honest, I think he would just get eased out of the game a little bit too comfortably, try and do too much at once, and I think they would enjoy that. Whereas Forrest, not anywhere near as likely to do anything spectacular. I thought he did look tidy when he came on. The one thing you could do is trust him, and that's a big thing. So when you're talking about these subs, it's about trust. And he's went to the guys who I think he knows exactly what he's asking him to do. Now, Bernardo is one. I think Nat Phillips is clearly tactical. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's had to bring someone else on there, and he, you know, will probably get there. But James Forrest, he can trust him to go on and retain the ball, to recycle it. But it was probably indicative of what we had in the bench, that that's the best you could really ask for. I mean, you look at the quality, I think, Atletico brought off the bench. I think they brought Marcus Llorente off the bench. Yeah. We just don't have that calibre of player, I think, and it showed, and it was frustrating because I think largely when they went down to 10 minutes, the game just entirely fizzled out. We ran out of ideas, and I think Lazio was 100% in the back of our minds that we thought, let's not lose here. Let's be a little bit safer, and maybe against our detriment, because I think a point's probably not much use, but it's just frustrating. But I don't think, would you have done anything different if you were Brendan Rodgers last night? Would you have said that David Turnbull's going to make a difference here? Awat is a defensive minded player, he's not going to unlock that defence. I just don't think there was the quality on the bench, unfortunately.
So Manny?
I will, the bench is the bench because of the transfer window, which we don't need to go into again. And I think Rodgers is quite honest about some of the players that we've got in. You know, he's talked about guys like Tilio, and, you know, and I know he's not featured for us, but he's quite honest about where he sees players. I think he's also, you know, in a position whereby he's not going to risk or throw guys like Yang on or whatever in a situation where he doesn't feel that they're going to be in a position to necessarily contribute.
Yeah.
And Forrest was the safe head to secure that point. That's why he brought him on. For the exact reasons Alan said, you can give him the ball, he'll take it, he'll do the safe thing, he'll drop it off, you know, move out wide, take the ball back. You know, people are looking at Forrest and kind of groaning a little bit because in our heads, we're Celtic fans, we want us to go and get the win. Right? Mm. James Forrest isn't the James Forrest of 5-6 years ago. So that's why that reaction was there. But conversely, the manager did that for that exact reason. Safe, let's see this out. So I understand why he did it, even though I was probably a bit frustrated myself. And I think I said it's a bit of an indictment on us as a team that he's an option from the bench, but I get it, even though if I was in charge, I wouldn't have done that, but I'm not in charge, as I've highlighted earlier on.
I think that to bring it down to sort of more positive aspects, because as we said, there was some great football last night, and I think if we just sort of briefly touch on the first goal, like, that football was probably on a par with anything I've seen from Celtic at that level. The 1-2s from Matt O'Reilly and Kyogo. And that's even going back probably every Champions League game that I've seen. That's probably that moment of clarity's right up there. Quality. And I think we'll maybe touch on Matt O'Reilly a wee bit more in depth shortly. But your thoughts on that goal, Alan? And I think we've often spoke about the noise that the crowd make. And it was almost like the noise of the crowd was sort of testament to how good that bit of play was, I thought. It was almost like a shock, but fucking hell, that was brilliant.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You get that different sound of when you've seen something special. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really well-worked goal. What I love about it is we've picked on the weakness of theirs, which was the left back, and Kyogo, it's like watching a professional against an amateur. It makes him look just slow in his feet, slow in his mind, and Kyogo is the exact opposite. And what I like about Kyogo, just that wee kind of poked finish, it was just kind of stabs at it. The ball from O'Reilly's great, and its simplicity is what's excellent about it. I suppose the first goal for both teams is really the tail of the left backs, I suppose. Yeah. I think we're a wee bit unlucky, I think, with the penalty.
Tail of the left back.
But Kyogo's goal, I think it just kind of, the one thing that's really positive as well, it legitimises him at Champions League level. Now, he is, 100%. I think, two goals at home for him, I think, makes him just feel that, so what I do against 4-0 Dundee at home, I can do it against the big teams. And that kind of, you know, he did have chances last year, maybe a wee bit harsh on him at times, but this year it looks like, you know, chance finish. You know, he might need two again, whereas last year he would have needed probably 4 or 5 to get that goal at the big stage. So just delighted for him, delighted for O'Reilly, two guys that have obviously been really, really important under Rodgers. And then, well, you know, I'll not jump ahead to the second goal yet.
So, Manny, I know you're a big fan of Matt O'Reilly. You were eulogising over him last night. Oofed. Still feel the same this morning, or today rather. This morning,
eulogising, is that what you called it?
Indeed. My love for Matt O'Reilly grows stronger by the minute. He's went to the next level, just in terms of putting it all together. And he's kind of, he's attributed some of that in some of his comments to the change in manager, you know. And I think that's style. I think that's, you know, it might just be that arm around the shoulder. And I think he'd mentioned he's less scared to take risks now. Well, you could see that. I mean, the pass for the goal was absolutely excellent. But I think you'd said it was so simple. You know, it was the simplicity of it was pretty. But he didn't think about it. He took the ball back. He gave the ball out wide to Kyogo. He dropped back and saw the run and just in one swift movement played it through. You know, we might have thought twice about that last season, but not this season. And it's not just that. Everything, he just seems to kind of be playing with a far greater freedom. Now, it's easy to forget last season. He was probably one of our strongest performers in the Champions League, playing deeper, you know. I think we've always known there's a quality player there. I think what we were saying, and rightfully so, is you need to go up that level, yeah. You need to step that up. And we've talked about midfielders that we've had, Turnbull being another player, and you're thinking, you need to step up. And if you don't, you become run of the mill. If you do, well, you get tweets from Fabio Romano saying that you're going to go for a Scottish transfer record. Don't know where he's getting that from, but I think it speaks volumes of the impact that he's making. And just a quick point in Kyogo, said it before, I'll say it again, the start of this calendar year, he hadn't scored against Rangers. He hadn't scored in the Champions League. This year is the year that he went to the next level. And I know that you're saying he had chances last year and it's maybe a bit unfair on him. I think he had that bad injury. I think you remember that wee video they did and it showed you. So that might have been the reason. But he's a different player from last, you know, that part of the season to now. And it all happened that day that he scored at Ibrox. That, you know, I think that was almost kind of weight off his shoulders, weight off our shoulders in terms of how we thought his ability was. And then he's just went into kind of the stratosphere from there. And he's a special talent as well.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of sort of debate, sort of pub discussions about, is he the best since Larsson? And I think a lot of us said Dembele was probably the best because of what he'd done in the Champions League. But if Kyogo continues in this form, does that debate sort of go out the window, Alan?
I think it's out the window, to be honest, already. I think it's his goals are incredible, but there's something about him. He has that magical thing now, and he's starting to get it at European level where he doesn't really need to be involved that much to make things happen. You know, against Hearts at the weekend, kind of anonymous, pops up, scores. Madrid scores in the first, 5 minutes? I mean, I think he's there. I think he is he's the most impactful since Larsson. I think I've seen better quality footballs. Yeah. but then that's not to take anything away from him, because I think his genius is sometimes just in his instinct and his movement. His movement is world class. And he just gets into these positions more often than any player I've ever seen at Celtic, probably with the exception of Henrik. And as special, I've said it before, I think on the weekly, see when Kyogo scores, everybody celebrates different, because it's just, you get a different feeling. Every time Celtic score, especially when it's big goals, I sit in really, really far back in the Jockstein, and if you maybe had a couple of pints or whatever, like last night, but you know it's Kyogo, and you would know even if you hadn't seen it, because the noise of the crowd, it just feels like everybody wants, there's a comfort that comes from your striker scoring goals and your striker scoring big goals, because it makes you feel like, I don't know, there's just something comforting and warm about it, and Kyogo just seems to do that more often than not now. So I think the debate over best since Henry, I think it's long since settled, and it's exactly because of the year he's had, as Savani says.
Yeah, and I think the point you make there about the sort of aura around him and the sort of affection the fans have for him, I think that's shared in the dressing room as well, because if you think back to the comments McGregor made at the side of the pitch after the one at Ibrox, he said, he just said to him in there, like, you're the best striker I've ever seen. And I think the players all react differently to Kyogo as well. There's like a sort of warmthness. It's hard to put into words, but he is just so talismanic, and I think that's maybe what sets him apart from all the strikers that we've had since Larsson as well. So, Manny, on to the second goal. Lewis Palmas certainly putting the cat amongst the pigeons. I know that there was maybe sort of question marks when we initially first saw him in the team, but he's becoming a sort of must pick now, isn't he?
Yeah, that right foot is unbelievable. I mean,
what was the Alan Partridge thing? The foot like a traction engine.
Traction engine. Yeah, I mean, that strike was so precise, so calm. He knew what he was doing. I think it took a slight nick, I think, when I seen one of the replays, but that was heading in the corner of the net no matter what. I think we touched on it last week, we've touched on it before. He's not Jota, and that infuriates some people who still view him as a Jota replacement. There was periods of the game where he just wasn't in it last night. I don't think he was particularly good at getting the ball forward when we needed him to, or yeah, perhaps it would have been helpful for him to. Maeda obviously had been kind of tasked with that role last night, and we'll maybe touch on his stamina, shall we say. See if you give him an opportunity or space to create or score with that right foot, he's going to do it, and he's going to do it a lot. Domestically, he'll do it. And you know, we're talking about Champions League level. You know, apart from a touch from Maeda in the Lazio game, that would have him done it in two games in a row. He's a, people talk about Abada, you know, in the assists and the goals that he's had at times, and then there's large periods where he doesn't contribute. And I think I've made it pretty clear in terms of over his time with Celtic what I think of Abada. Palma is different, though, for me. And I know it's still early. To me, he looks as if he could be dangerous at any point in a game.
Yeah.
If you can work him the space, whereas there's games where Abada comes on and he'll contribute, and then you know, and then he'll drift out of the game or whatever. But then there's some games where you think you're never going to score. You're just not going to do that. And there's a lot of folk will say I've been unfair with Abada. It's fair enough. I'll kind of take that in the chin. But there's something about Palma that makes you think that you could be absolute, you know, horseshit for 89 minutes, and then the ball breaks to him in the edge of the box, and you put a ball right on somebody's head, or he'll touch it to the side and knock it in the top corner. And as much as it'll be frustrating at times, you're going to get real big moments of quality from him. Yeah. I mean, and I just have to mention, his left foot is basically for balance. Yeah. That's, I mean, rarely do you see a player as one-footed as him, but what a right foot that is, man.
Yeah, when you've got a right foot as good as that, it's how you can live with it. Alan, I know you're a fan of him.
Yeah, and for exactly that, I think just very simple, he trusts his right foot. He trusts that he has got the technique to strike the ball in many different ways. Like, we've seen it, obviously, the goal against Kelly. That last night, though, that's the kind of, I've been saying for a wee while, and I think we've all been chatting about it, like, I think he'll do really well domestically, and I think he'll breathe, I don't want to say breeze the Scottish League, but he's played in a competitive league for a number of years now, and he put up big numbers. I would imagine he would largely do the same here. It's how good can he be in big nights. And I think last night, you know, is not great, but in the moment of quality, to score a goal like that, like, just trust that right foot. I think when it falls to him, he kind of knows what he wants to do. He's not fired that in a ruck of players and thought, well, hopefully it'll take a hit off somebody and go in. He's trusted his right foot to do exactly that. And I think the interesting thing is when he switched over to the other side. So he looks good. See, when he checks in on his right foot, the pass for O'Reilly against Hearts, brilliant. He did that against Motherwell a number of times. Last night, he goes over to the other side and he can still have that quality. So it's not, he's not just doing the one thing. So it's encouraging. He is a guaranteed starter. I don't think there's any doubt about that now. Maybe because of our kind of weakness in that area, perceived weakness. But you think about the introduction he's had, like the impact he's had in, what, four or five games since Motherwell. I mean, it's probably not, it's condensed, it's over a longer time. But remember when O'Reilly and Hatate came in and they had, what, Tynecastle, Rangers? It's kind of like he's had that kind of baptism of fire, and he's really risen to it. And hopefully the elements of the game that we're being critical of be a wee bit more time, a wee bit more kind of time with the group, because he seems very, very popular as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you would like somebody that scores goals for you, and that would be a big help. Hopefully he can maybe add to those elements of his game and become a more kind of a well-rounded player. But huge, huge moment from last night, and quite nice after what happened, you know, against Lazio for him to get that goal.
Yep. Man.
It was just another point as well, is, you know, obviously he switched, they kind of switched over. At that point, there was a point later on where we kind of broke and he was up the left wing. And you knew, I mean, the defender knew, I think the crowd knew before the defender did that he was going to cut back onto his right foot. Yeah. And it was just halfway through the motion, I went, you're going to lose this ball here. And it's, that's the thing, I suppose, at this level, that any manager or any team that does their homework know he's going to always have to do it. So the point that you were making there about working on some of this sort of stuff and, you know, upping his overall game, he's probably going to need to do that. And he will. There'll be fans that don't like him. He'll frustrate the life out of some fans. That might be us at some point. But, you know, if you can give him time and space or even an opportunity, you're going to get those months.
City fans, we give wingers a really hard time, to be fair. Like, is there ever, I don't want to say, has there ever been a winger that's been unanimously loved? Like, Jota has been amazing. A lot of stick. Yeah. I mean, we all go to games, we've all been there. We don't like sometimes flair players, I think at times. I've said this before, young Scottish wingers really get a fucking hard time. But a wingers generally, I just think they're quite divisive. We expect wingers to have the same consistency as centre-halves and centre-midfielders, and it's just never, ever going to happen. Like, that's not their game, because they're trying to unlock, they're trying to unpick. It's very difficult to do. Sometimes it doesn't come off. I think Palma, well, a lot of people won't like him, but I don't think you will ever get a unanimous love for wingers amongst Celtic fans, just the nature of it.
And that brings us on.
You get quite annoyed by that there, didn't you?
Yeah. I think we always give wingers that, I mean.
What you like? Stop bullying the wingers.
Stop bullying the wingers, I've got a hard job.
They're really trying.
Sorry, Barry.
No, there you go. Dyson. So,
here we go.
Another divisive
Samani
character.
Will be in.
You touched on it earlier, Samani, about his sort of stamina. And I've never seen a player that runs as much as he does. And I thought he had really good moments last night. There was also some not great moments. What was your overall sort of thoughts of his performance?
He is absolutely integral to the way that we want to play in Europe. His work rate, it unsettled them. It was at points ridiculous. Even when you could see he was visibly tiring, he was still rapid. You know, he was still, the work rate he put in was just crazy. However,
I think there'll always be a however, won't there?
It's the cliche with him, you know, if he could play football, he wouldn't be at Celtic. And sometimes he looks quite inept in terms of his control. Oh, he's a winger. Look at him. He's shuffling in his seat.
Having a pop in his wingers.
He's shuffling in his seat. I mean, he gets the ball across for Palma. He bends it behind and away from Kyogo. Yeah. And there's a few moments like that, but we know what he does. And for me, though, the good outweighs the bad, especially 100%. Last night. You know, that game, I don't think it's understating it to say that he played as big a role as anybody in that win.
Yeah.
So when I'm criticising these, you know, the other aspects of his game, it's out of frustration, because you actually think, what would he be worth if he could play football?
Yeah. I think the point as well, I touched on it earlier, that see that moment in the first half I was talking about where they were just rattled and they couldn't get out at all. He was at the heart of that. And I think their left back just looked exhausted. Does he get hooked at half time, didn't he?
Probably hooked as well in the dressing room.
Balan, just sort of briefly on Maeda last night.
Yeah, I think that Samani's, despite my defence of wingers, which is weird, I don't know why I'm doing it. I think it's spot on. He was integral last night, and if you didn't have him in the park, especially in the parts of the second half, he was the kind of only potential threat that they had to be really mindful of. Yeah. Obviously, that one where he goes through, where the whole stadium are hoping that Oblak, or however you pronounce it, clatters him, which is obviously feels unfair. I would really loved him to absolutely scythe Maeda down so we get a penalty and we could have missed it. But he was the only threat.
So we could have missed it is the important part.
He was the only threat, and I think, so even when the threat of him running behind, or the threat of him was enough to kind of keep them alert. And then I think in the first half, as you say, like Celtic Park cheering and throw-ins, like, because a team can't get out, it's amazing. Yeah, I love that.
It's better than a goal.
You're jumping up off your seat, but you boot seats in front of you just because they can't, you know, play a three-yard pass. It's great. And he feeds into that well. And he just, it just amazes me how level he stays. Like, it's quite, I'd imagine playing at Celtic Park in front of an atmosphere like that would get to people, and see when the blood is coursing through your body the way it must be through his, like it must travel at a speed that is just, you know, unbelievable. But he just never seems to get to, you never, when decisions go against him, you never see him getting wound up. He just, no, I'm not, I don't want to precursor a red card again at Easter Road at the weekend, but he just, he's incredible. He's, it's quite difficult to describe him, but also he can then be incredibly frustrating when, you know, things seem simple. He gets there and he just doesn't make it happen, but that's why he's here.
One of the things that people often say is his sort of lack of animation at goals, but I noticed when Palma scored, he was going mental, and it was really nice to see.
He's getting an assist bonus. I'd have docked him.
He's usually trying to just fucking regulate his breath, I would imagine. He's scored like at the weekend, people are like, he didn't celebrate much. So just try fucking catch his breath, man.
True. Just, this is, we sort of come to a close on last night's action. Another message from Chris, one of the listeners. He said, was at the game last night and agreed with the reaction panel's consensus that the first half performance was full of imagination and composure. Defensively, after another good performance, do you envisage William Scales remaining his first choice for the remainder of the season? To me, he appears to be growing as a player, and perhaps his peak will be later, having come to Celtic slightly later than most who progressed to Scottish football or English football from the League of Ireland. I thought he was exceptional last night. And I think Claire made the point on the reaction that you're starting to really trust him now, because you could argue maybe wasn't the best in Rotterdam for Feyenoord away, but I think Lazio and last night, he's really making it difficult for the new centre-halves that we signed in the summer to dislodge him. Do you agree with Chris that he could be CCV's partner for the rest of the season?
I think Narowski is... He's well past Lagerbielke at the moment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't write him off, but he's certainly having a spell away from the team, probably for his own development and his own good at the moment. Welsh also, even though he's injured. Narowski, we don't really know. We've seen him. He looked quite comfortable in the ball. But Scales has far exceeded, you know, my expectations and everybody else's expectations. And the fact that he's played in the three Champions League games, I think it's been a very good kind of barometer of his improvement. Because I don't think he was great in Feyenoord. I think he was pretty shaky at times against Lazio in the first half, but Ren really settled. Last night was the pick of the bunch. That was his best performance for us against the best team in the group. I think if we're going back to the age-old discussion about playing out from the back, he was good at that last night. But maybe not in the, you know, fluent way that we're thinking about that we maybe want in the team. He did that. He did well, though. You know, there wasn't very many misplaced passes. There was one moment maybe where I thought it was a bit rash coming in. I can't remember who it was in the middle of the park in the second half. Other than that, though, I don't really think he put a foot wrong. So at the very least, William Scales, you've got now a player, I think, that you're comfortable playing in pretty much any fixture we've got. And even if you're taking the Champions League fixtures away from it, Ibrox is another great example of that. He looked overawed, he looked really flustered, but then he really settled.
Yeah.
So it's whether or not he's starting to kind of iron out those, you know, if it's a confidence thing, it's just about believing himself, he's ironed those things out. You know, it might be that, or it might be it's a purple patch. We don't know. You probably need a bigger, what do the stat guys call it? Sample size. You probably need a bigger. I'm looking at you, Gal. You've got a calculator over there, that's why. So that's possible too. And what I don't want to do is go Liam Scales is now the future of Celtic's defence or whatever. But hands up, he has far, far exceeded my expectations of him. And last night, he was very comfortable, and that's major credit to him. So I'm pleased to see it as well, because when you get a guy like that who you're most people were fairly dismissive of, shall we say, it's really pleasing to see him take that up to the next level. See, at the very least, I think we've got a player who you're very comfortable having in your squad.
Definitely. And just before you come in, Alan, I think the fact that you mentioned Yersimani, see, his ability to play the ball, I think it's really helped the team that he's a left-footed centre-half, because how often last season, and not to, to criticise him because I thought he was a great player for Celtic, but Starfelt having to do that switch, adjust his body, and then it gives the attackers more time to get to you, but he can just play it first time out to Taylor or out to Palmer, and I agree with the point that he maybe wasn't incisive with his passing, but it was very comfortable, and we spoke just before we came on air about, I think the Lazio game and last night has been really reassuring for me for how comfortable we've looked from playing out from the back. Maybe not, again, not as incisive, but keeping the ball and not looking flustered that we maybe did at times last season. Mm-hmm. Alan, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're both spot on, because last night was the, that thus far in his Celtic career, that is the pinnacle. That, yeah. I thought that was a really accomplished performance last night. I think the big indicator of his development is that now when you look at the team sheet, you just, you brush past when you see his name. You don't look and think, God, I hope someone is back fit soon. You look and you think, yeah, you know, it's entirely comfortable. So to answer the question, I think the jersey's there for him. I think Navrotsky's, he's got good experience. He's a young player who looks like he's on the way up, and he looks really accomplished. I would imagine when he comes back in, just my own opinion, I probably think over time he will probably take that slot. But either way for us now, it's a huge, I was about to say a huge win. It's a huge win for Liam Scales, because in the space, I think 3 months, his career potentially has just turned on its head. He went from a player, he was at Aberdeen last year, he would get a club in Scotland again, not a problem at all. I know Aberdeen were keen to have him back. So he always had that. I think now, see even if January, February, March, whatever, if he's finding he's not in the team, he'll have options. Yeah. He'll have decent options to go and play, because he's played at that Champions League level and he has grown into it. And I think you're right, the Rangers performance, I thought he looked quite shaky. Some other games he's looked uncomfortable. But it's been in lockstep with the team, because as the team gets better, he's get better as well. So I think he's grown into it. He looks comfortable now. He knows exactly what he wants to do. So look, I think Navrotsky probably will come back in, and him and CCV will be the preferred pairing. What you've got now, though, is Scales, Welsh, Lagabelka, who are all kind of will be chasing for that third spot, in my opinion. One of them, you know, might get moved on. If it's Liam Scales, out of those three, he's the one that you would probably say Celtic could realise a proper value. Yeah. And for someone that we were all, I think almost everyone in the support really couldn't bear to see in the team, because we thought he's miles off it. I think now you're looking at it saying, well, do you know what? There's a real value there. Whether we realise it or whether, you know, it's someone else, he's a player that's got a decent future and a good kind of career in front of him. So I think it's exciting, and it's going to be a win-win, whether he's a starter, whether he's the third man, or whether he moves on. I think the club will get a good fee for him as well. So I think it's great, delighted for him, and, you know, it's up to him now, kind of going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose what he's done now as well, just kind of quickly on it, is he's reached a level. It's important to keep at that level now as well, because another example, not at the same level as he's done in the Champions League, is Ralston. You know, yeah. Ralston was you know, stock was probably even lower, you know, and he came in and he gave us some very good performances, particularly in Ange's first season, but he regressed. It wasn't even, he probably regressed to the mean, if you will, and you got a proper examination of what level he's at, and, you know, we don't need to talk about what that is, but that's important as well, because you do get situations where you'll get players kind of coming in, stepping up to the mark. But consistency is a big, big thing. Yeah. You were talking about it. Wingers maybe get more leeway with that. Well, they don't get it. They get dogs abuse. But I think there's an understanding that wingers, from me, clearly, wingers are more mercurial, whereas you need that. You need consistency. That's why Callum McGregor's so beloved, because even when he's not on top of his game, he's still giving you 7 out of 10. Centre-halves is just as important. So that's going to be the next step for him, not necessarily putting in major performances like that. It's just when he's in the team, you need to do that. You need to be consistent. And I don't think we can underestimate the return of CCV to the team as well, in terms of, you know, kind of just guiding them along in these games.
I thought it was going to be a beautiful moment there. We were going to see the return of a beloved Brendan. But not quite
steady,
there.
Steady, steady.
Before we move on to the weekend's game against Hibs, the display last night, I thought it was exceptional. Some of the photos and some of the sort of goodwill for it around the world is great to see, and shout out to both the fans group, the Green Brigade, and the boys as well, because I thought great to see on that world stage as well, and it's a really worthwhile display supporting people that really need it. We'll move on to Hibs now, Saturday, 3 o'clock at Easter Road. Alan, do you think there'll be any changes, Hatate aside, from the team? We spoke earlier about how much we put into that performance. Do you think there'll be any changes, or do you think it's just as is, but maybe with Bernardo coming in?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can see who is kind of champing at the bit to nab that spot. If there was a change, I think it would have to be because of injuries or not, because I don't see anyone, in, you know, certainly defensively, that's pushing at the door. I think Awata is a player that will definitely play some part in the game, but I don't think he'll start, so I think it will be light for light. I think it is a wee bit frustrating that you don't have that. It's always nice to have a, you know, someone that you kind of think he could get a start.
I don't like your 12th or 13th player.
Exactly, yeah. I think the only one that, and I think the fact that Mandra, I think Yang's another one that, because you brought him up, you know, I think had we... had we been playing with two wide players towards the end of the game last night, I think he would have gone to Yang.
I said so.
Because it was the two up front, I think it just kind of ruled him out. So he's another player that I would imagine would play some part of the weekend, but I think it will be more of the same. What I'm kind of really keen to hear now is, presumably Brendan Rodgers will be speaking to the media tomorrow, it will be on how severe is the injury to Hatate, because the other thing with that, Bernardo might be the kind of 12th man that might find himself pushing to get in there. If Rio Hatate is going to be out for 2 or 3 months, then you're going down that pecking order, and it, for us, it means we're going to be getting back to talking about players that we probably thought we had maybe we wouldn't see too much of. So I'm hoping at best what Rio Hatate might be 7 to 10 days, but I think Claire had said in the reaction last night that he was crying.
Yeah, you could see that, yeah.
Players don't cry when they've got a sore muscle. It's usually if that's a tear, you know, if it's a significant tear. So I think if that happened, it would be a real, real blow, because he looked like he was coming in and the team was starting to kind of grow a bit. So I suppose we'll wait and see what Brendan Rodgers says tomorrow.
So Manny, think any changes, and do you think we'll see any sort of European hangover? I know, Alan, you always make the point that when you play to that intensity, your levels sort of continue into the next game. Do you think it'll be more of the same?
I think before, when the team was announced last night, I think most people said that's the best team we've got.
Yep.
I don't see any reason to change that, especially if a tie like Hibs away, you know. You might have been tempted to make some changes if it was a home game against a team further down the league or whatever, but you ride that momentum from last night into that game. Obviously, Hatate will be an enforced change, but even then, when you're thinking about it, there aren't too many options that you know that you can go to. It goes back to that point about the quality that we've got on the bench. Could he make a change like Yang for Palma or something like that? Well, you could, but I'm not sure he will, and I don't think there's any problem with it. There will come a time when he's going to need to give other players, you know, some game time just to kind of freshen things up, because especially this part of the season, playing 6 Champions League games, as well as the kind of the league fixture. I think we've got some midweek games coming up as well.
That's right,
it's going to have to start to do that, but not right now, I don't think.
No.
Back-to-back in Edinburgh is not ideal in the week of a Champions League game as well. It's unkind from the supercomputer.
Yes. The run of away fixtures that we've had as well is incredible, particularly the levels of difficulty, but you're hoping that'll work in our favour into the winter months when it flips.
Yeah. Just very, very lastly as well, see on Atletico Madrid, just before we kind of close that door, see the one thing that I really thought coming away from the stadium last night, and then obviously when you see the kind of wee, you know, Simeone and Rodgers thing, I think that second leg could really be box office. Whether we get a result or not, I wouldn't hold out too much hope. I just get the impression that there was a bit of niggle in the game, and it was a really competitive game, and I don't know, just something about it. I'm genuinely quite envious of folk that are doing the trip for Madrid, because I think it'll be box office.
So you just done the supercomputer as the hot ball machine next to that as well, eh? Did he get housed in the same room?
Charged up with the same power.
Operated by the same person, I would imagine. Surname.
Right, we're going to finish off then with the usual quiz.
Oofed.
So it'll be a team lineup.
That time already? Yeah. God almighty. Fluent.
Team lineup for a previous encounter against Hibs. And as you know, it's
April the 4th, 1962.
Barry didn't even check it. He just started. Yeah. Off the top of my head.
So we'll go through the Celtic team. If you see a starting 11 player or anyone on the bench, you can continue, but you've got two lives each. So, a game that wasn't too long ago, and Alan, we were actually there together. 19th of December, 2021, the League Cup final.
Oh yeah, aye.
Hibs won, Celtic 2, when Kyogo really sort of announced himself.
Kyogo.
That's Sam Lash, you get a gimme as well.
Good.
Two.
Right, so, we'll come to Alan first.
David Turnbull.
Correct. Samari.
Carl Starfelt.
Correct. Remember he was getting a hard time off Michael Stewart, wasn't he?
Aye.
Not just Michael Stewart. Joe Hart.
Correct.
Kevin and Carter Vickers.
Correct.
James Forrest.
Jamesy, let me see. No.
Me and him are really going to have a flip. See, if I hadn't had defended wingers so much tonight, I would have given him a really hard time.
Captain Callum McGregor.
Well done.
Lee Palmer.
Matt O'Reilly.
No, he did not sign until
fucking January 22. I never get more nervous in this fucking 10 minutes of the week.
Last night was a piece of piss compared to this.
Well done, Sir Manny.
Well done, Sir Manny. I think you both started very well like you did last week, but
fell apart. I had a really bad 10 minutes.
Just, I suppose just before we finish, as Alan incorrectly said, Matt O'Reilly, you touched on it earlier, Sir Manny, the tweet from Fabrizio Romano.
Yes.
About the form that he's in and how the fact that Celtic tied him down in a long-term deal last month and how the sort of... I'm always wary when he tweets because I'm in no doubt that it's been fed to him by someone for probably a substantial fee.
Peter Lowe was fed it to.
And he made the point that it would be a Scottish transfer record, so exceeding the value that we got for both Kieran Tierney and Jota. What kind of fee do you think that would be? Would it be 26 million?
I was going to say, at least 25 million.
And £1. But we touched on earlier, he is in the form of his life. I think a tweet I saw earlier was, it's crazy to think that he was playing for MK Dons, the start of 2022. And now he's really hit the heights, but... What kind of level do you think he could go to? As you say, he looks like a Champions League ready player. What kind of team do you think, if it was down south again, that he could go to?
I mean, it's hard to say. There's probably a premium attached to him. Well, he's Danish now, but you know, English midfielders normally attract a premium sort of thing. So even before he signed for us, there was talk about him being on the radar of Liverpool. That's because right. of numbers, all these stats and that.
Sample size.
Yes, double sample pivot. Size and all that, the double pivot and all that. You know, I'm not suggesting that he could go to Liverpool as much as I love him. The fact that I am, he could walk into that Liverpool team. However, he's because of his age, because of, you know, games like last night, you're when we get paid £30 million for a player, when a team from an English Premier League pays that for us, they're paying for potential that has already been realised to an extent for us, if you know what I mean. When Arsenal signed KT, he was young, potential to get even better. Same with Jota. Well, maybe not. It was just obviously there was a lot of money getting thrown about there, but he's in that bracket. You know, his age, quite young. Ceiling, he's not reached his ceiling yet. Matt O'Reilly's like that. So £30 million wouldn't be out of the question if he keeps playing the way he's playing. You know, again, it goes back to the same point about skills. He's been outstanding this season, but I can remember probably some other people here or whatever after that St Johnston game.
Yes.
And the chances he missed. Oh, calling
delete
him,
that girl.
All sorts of stuff. So it's very important to kind of keep a wee bit of perspective at all times because things do change. But he looks like he's realising the player that we knew he could be just now. So assuming he continues to do that, 30 million quid isn't he out of the question.
Yep. Alan?
Yeah, I'm the same as you, as in when I seen the tweet or whatever it was, when you sent it to me, I worried because he's doing that for a reason.
Yeah.
If you could DSA Fabrizio Romano's records and see who's paid them to do that, that would be ideal because it will be coming from somewhere.
Not O'Reilly's dad.
I think
Pat O'Reilly.
These next three Champions League games, I think, will be the decider if there is a. If Celtic are looking to realise a fee, whether it's next summer, these three Champions League games will be what decides it because he can compete domestically and he looks like he's now shown that he can do that quite comfortably week in, week out. Obviously, if he can continue to do that, it'd be great for us and it would highlight that. But see if he can turn in these quite instrumental performances in Champions League games against top quality midfielders. That's when teams like Liverpool that you're mentioning, that's when they might become interested. If he does that in these next three games, especially, you know, two away games, one at home, then there might be, you know, clubs like that interested. Otherwise, it probably would be that same out with the top six type. But I think because we're fresh off the back of that window there, I really couldn't care less. Yeah, like, genuinely, 40 million, it makes no difference to me because I'm not sure I have the trust that we can reinvest it. So, and it doesn't feel like, it doesn't make my season ticket any cheaper. So it's all just numbers and it's all the kind of thing that I kind of maybe even hate about modern football. Yeah. And just like people talking about transfer fees, if there's any pride in that, and it's like, it means absolutely nothing.
Resale value and all that.
Brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic. So let him run down his contract and get the best of him for 4 years. Kinda, that's what I quite like when I was talking about Kyogo earlier. I actually quite like, because of Kyogo's age, because he's just signed that new deal, you don't get this discussion. You don't get the kind of, oh, he'd be great in the English Premier League. Like, I couldn't care less if somebody's good or not in English Premier League. No. I like it when they're good at Celtic. So yeah. I like with Kyogo that there is at least an acceptance that his best years likely will be at Celtic. Whereas with Matt O'Reilly, it's the exact opposite. Yeah, that's just the nature of it.
It might be, the modern football, I hate that as well. You would have a bit more interest in it if you thought that the board were going to reinvest it in the squad, though.
Yeah.
See if we get 40 million quid in for Matt O'Reilly. Right, it's going up and up here. 50 million quid for Matt O'Reilly. And you were confident in there being a history of that being then reinvested in other players. That would be, like, just rewards for losing that player. But you're right, it's going to go into a nice, big, healthy balance sheet. And it's we've already got the disco lights in as well, so it's not like we're going to get... anything else?
It'd be good if, like, seeing we're never going to reinvest it, right? 50 million players. It'd be good if they just started saying
60 million.
Twice a year, you get full boon of hospitality, so you can go to Celtic Park, go into a box. So that's your season ticket perks because we sold Liam Scales for 25 million.
Two full boon of hospitality, but you need to be in there with Ian Dugan.
I would have no issue with that. That'd be absolutely brilliant.
But he's on one. He's turning the tables over.
I can't make that game, mate.
Yeah, I think on that note, we'll bring it to a close. So, Samari, thanks very much for tonight.
Pleasure. Enjoyed that. Time flew in.
Alan?
Brilliant. Enjoyed it, boys. Thanks. Money wingers.
This has been the Cynic Weekly, and we'll speak to you down the road.